Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts to hear the word.
Let us pray. Our Holy Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the blessings that you've given us. And we can't be thankful enough for the Son that you sent to die for our sins.
Amen.
And give us the path to salvation. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts today, Lord. As the Holy Spirit brings your word and puts it in our heart, Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to take it from this building to the world, Lord, to the streets, to our families, to our co-workers, that we spread your word, Lord, and bring glory to you. And please keep our steps in line with you, Lord, that we may be a constant reminder to people what Christ is and the love he gives us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody spring break's over. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. I'm just a scheduled person, and when we get off track and off schedule, that gets the church off track and off schedule. Not against taking a break, going on, you know, a vacation, anything like that. But it's just great to have everybody back. Our theme for the year, for you guests and visitors, is getting free in 23. And God is setting people free from all kinds of things already in 2023. Now, we are in a different sermon series now. We began with freedom from sin, and these next several weeks, we're going to be looking at freedom from bondage. Did you know that God's people, even today, with the Holy Spirit within us, even now, many of God's people are under bondage, enslavement, oppression, and God wants to set you free. Last week, we looked at how to get free in the valley of discouragement. How many of you, well, I don't want to get depressed before I start preaching. Turn in your Bibles this morning, would you, to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 15 if the Lord gives us that time today. And I just want to start there at verse 1, if I might. And we're going to honor God's word as best we can. It helps to stand in his honor. Jesus is not only the written word, he's the living word. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you're not, say, hang on, preacher. Amen. All right. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, that's a key word. In the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace, for we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But faith working through love.
Amen.
Faith working through love. Hallelujah. Father, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. (Clears throat) This morning, we're going to be getting free from two big issues in the Christian life. One is called license. The other is called legalism. And a lot of church folks are in bondage to one of those two issues today. But according to verse 1, did y'all catch that? We are free from the yoke of bondage. We've been set free. At the moment of salvation, God sets us free from the big issue of sin. Amen? You're free from the penalty of sin. You're now saved to deal with the power of sin. And one day you're even going to be saved from the very presence of sin. And look at verse 13, man. I love this. Look at verse 13. For you, brethren, look at your neighbor and say, that's you, have been called to liberty. Have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. So we have this thing. We live as believers under this big umbrella called Christian liberty. Christian liberty. And I want to unpack this morning before we dive deeper into it. But we are free in Christ, so why would we want to be entangled with the yoke of bondage again? We are free in Christ. Now, there are two extremes in what we call Christian liberty. One is license, what I call license. And these are the folks in the church that believe since you're saved by grace, you can live any way you want to. And then out on the other end, in the other extreme, under this umbrella of Christian liberty, is this thing we call legalism. Legalism. And these folks are trying to live under a list of rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. I'm just going to make a confession. Your pastor is a recovering legalist. Okay? And some of you are too. And so license is really the abuse of Christian liberty, and legalism is the denial of Christian liberty. Okay, we've set the table. Y'all with me? Okay, is everybody with me? All right. Now, if you're not, we can go back through that again. All right, just want to be sure I'm communicating with folks. I want to say three things this morning, three truths from directly from the Scriptures about this thing we call Christian liberty. It is the heart and desire of your pastor that we would begin to live in freedom. Freedom is ingrained in us. How many of you have ever seen a baby being born? Man, that baby's fighting for freedom, right? It's in us. It's ingrained in us. And so it is my desire, and it's the Holy Spirit's desire, that we all be free and live in freedom. So, first of all, legalism robs us of Christian liberty. First thing it does, we're going to look at legalism first and then license. But legalism robs us of our Christian liberty. First of all, it prevents growth. Look at verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. The term legalism, as I mentioned a minute ago, means to live under a set, to try to live up to a set of rules and regulations and traditions and all this junk that is piled up on. Did y'all know the Jews had to live under a set of 513 commandments? I couldn't remember 513 commandments, much less try to live up to them. Amen? And so that's who a legalist is. And now there was a group in Paul's church that was teaching heresy. They taught that in order for you to keep the law, to live under the law, even though you're saved by grace, you still got to keep the law. And one of those issues was circumcision. In other words, in order to be saved, it was Jesus plus circumcision equals salvation. Some of you ladies are sitting there, what does that have to do with me? I understand. But back in the day, that's the way it was. But, you know, that's still applicable for us today. Well, I hear people all the same. You know, how many of you have ever heard, you gotta have Jesus, but you got to be baptized to be saved? Yeah, y'all have heard it whether you know it or not. It's out there. Now, I believe in baptism, but that water ain't going to save anybody. We say things like, it's Jesus plus tithing, or it's equals salvation. It's Jesus plus communion. It's Jesus plus church membership equals salvation. It's Jesus, hello, plus church attendance equals salvation. I have come here today to tell you all, it is Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves someone. We're saved by grace through faith. Glory to God. Now, once you get saved, some of these other things ought to mark your life. All right? You ought to want to be baptized. You shouldn't have to wait for the preacher to get up here and beg you to come be baptized. I'm coming out. I want to be baptized. I want to be obedient to what God's called me to do. Amen? Now, I want you to see this picture that Paul's painting there. It's that of a runner there in verse 7. Did you catch that? He paints the picture of a runner being knocked out of the race. In the 1980s, I know I'm dating myself. I always do. Every time I open my mouth. But in the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, there was a little teenage runner by the name of Zola Budd. I remember watching this race, 3,000-meter race, and Zola used to run barefoot. And and so all the ladies took off on this 3,000-meter race in Los Angeles at the Olympic track, and about halfway through, Zola cut in front of an American whose name was Mary Decker, who used to be the world record holder of the 3,000-meter race. Well, when Zola cut in front of Mary, it tripped her, and she fell down on the track, hurt herself, and rolled off the track, knocking her out of the race. That's exactly what legalism does to the Christian. It prevents us from running. It prevents us from growing and maturing in Christ Jesus. It stunts our growth. Legalism is defined by a list of what I can't do. Christianity is so much larger than a list of stuff I can't do. And it's larger than what I can do. We've been saved to live in freedom. And so a life of legalism prevents growth. That's the picture Paul's painting there. And then a life of legalism promotes error. Look at verse 9. Are y'all with me? All right. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, the second illustration here, girls, comes from the kitchen. Some of you girls need to get acquainted with the kitchen. I'm not going to go there, I promise. But if you, how many of y'all have ever made bread? And in order to make bread, you know, you got your dough, you know, and all, and then you put a little what in it? Yeast, yes. Well, that's what leaven is. And when you put that yeast in there and you roll that dough around, then what happens to that ball of dough? Woo, it starts to rise and get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what leaven does. And then 1 Corinthians, now in your New Testament, leaven is often seen as something evil or something sinful. 1 Corinthians 5, let me read this to you. Listen to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. It says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. That's the first time I've ever thought about being described as a lump. I've been called a lot of things, but never a lump. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now, brothers and sisters, if you don't deal with sin in your life, it spreads like wildfire. Just like that leaven in a little bit of dough causes it to rise. That's what sin does in the life of a believer. We've got standards. Yes, we've got convictions that we live by. But we do not use those standards and convictions to beat somebody over the head with a legalistic stick. Some of y'all have probably had that happen to you in church. But somebody who is a legalist can be so critical and judgmental and fault-finding and unloving, and they just speak in a harsh manner. Can I just go ahead and say something? If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be on our way to hell. You listen to your preacher today, to the pastor. If it wasn't for God's grace, we would all be headed for a devil's hell. It's only by the grace of God that I am what I am. Hallelujah. And it's only by the grace of God that you are what you are. I heard Junior Hill, my favorite Baptist evangelist, say one time, you know, it's a wonder God don't kill us all. And he's right. And so we don't look down our noses at other people and thinking that we're better than they are. That's what a legalist does, though. And so a lifestyle of legalism robs people of their Christian liberty. A legalist, folks who are legalists are some of the most unhappy, miserable, sour people I've ever been around. Hallelujah. And so a lifestyle of legalism robs people of the joy of Christian liberty. Now let's look at license, okay? Look at verse 13. License refutes Christian liberty. It perverts our calling. It perverts our calling. Look at verse 13 again. There in Galatians 5. For you, brethren, have been, what's that next word? Called to liberty. Now, license is the opposite of legalism. Y'all stay with me here. We're going somewhere. And it keeps us in bondage as well. In other words, what is license? Well, Dick Littleton, well, I don't know, he's senior adult now, but I guarantee you for years Dick has had a fishing license. And that license gave him an authority to fish the streams and the creeks and the rivers and the lakes and the pond. John Kochenauer. A lot of our guys love to fish. And in order to go fish, you've got to have a fishing license. And that license gives you the authority to go. Now, you better get somebody's permission if you're going on their property to fish. Amen? Right, Dick? All right. But there are some folks in the church that believe that you can be saved by grace and it doesn't have any effect on the way you live your life. You can live any way you want to. They use their salvation, listen, as a license to sin. They're not serious about sin. Now, we're not bound by a set of rules and regulations, but brothers and sisters, we are not free to live in sin. It perverts our calling. Living this kind of lifestyle is a perversion of the truth. I may have told this to y'all before, but if I have, maybe I'll get it right this time. But several years ago, there was a young fellow in our church who was saved. I believe he was probably saved. And by the way, the only ones truly who know whether you're saved or not is you and the Lord, right? The way you live your life gives evidence of whether you are or not. And so this fellow, about 25 or 26, great guitarist. Man, he was talented. He could write. He was a great author. Man, this young fellow was so, he could sing like nobody's business. He was an artist. I mean, this cat was so talented, and we were using him quite a bit there at the church in some different areas and departments. And then I found out this cat bought him a little house over close to the church and moved a lady in with him. Now, I don't care what anybody else says. Living together and having sex outside of the bonds of marriage is wrong. You may not hear that very much anymore, but it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong, and this is our authority. And so he moves this girl in with him. And then word got out that if you really wanted to go to a good party, you went to his house on Friday and Saturday night. And the booze was flowing and the dope. And I mean, and he smoked enough dope to burn this house down. And so I finally got my feel of it up to here because he's wearing out his witness. He's tearing up his testimony. And so I went over to his house one day, and I sat down in his living room, and he was thrilled that I came to see him. And I said, "My man, you are living like a dog." I said that to him. He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "This, this, this, and this." And I said, "The way you're living is telling me that you're not a child of God because you don't acting like you have any kind of conviction about your sin." He said, "Oh, I am saved, Brother Cal." And I said, "Why? What makes you think you're saved?" He said, "Oh, I believe in once saved, always saved." And so you know what I did? I got Galatians 5 out. Listen to this. Verse 16, verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery," which has to do with drugs, "hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And I said, "Now, young man, you're giving evidence that you're lost as last year's Easter egg. Because your lifestyle is one of practicing several of these sins. You're telling me, and you're living a life that says that you're lost. And if you are saved, my goodness, you ought to be under conviction about the way you're living." Amen. And then we had some real heart-to-heart discussion. And to make a long story short, he fell out of the church. As far as I know, he never came back. Broke my heart. Living this kind of lifestyle is a perversion of the truth. It perverts our calling. But secondly, it promotes sin. Look at verse 13b in Galatians 5. It says, "Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." I've just read those works of the flesh for you. We don't use our freedom in Christ as an opportunity to see how close to hell we can live and still make it to heaven. Let me say that again. We don't live our lives in such a way that we try to live as close to hell as we can and yet still make it to heaven. That's not what Christian liberty is all about. And let me just tackle this falling from grace thing that I read early on. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. You show me somebody in the Bible that was saved, truly born again, lost. Born again, saved, lost, saved. You won't find it. Because what God gives you is for all of eternity. It's not temporary. But I believe if saved, always saved. If you're one of God's children and you're in sin, brother, sister, it's a serious thing to God, and He's going to take you. How many of you are old enough to remember having to go to the woodshed? I remember a PE teacher paddling every one of us in gym class one day. I mean, God is going to deal with you, and if you're in sin, He's going to spank you, discipline you, chasten you, chastise you, do whatever He's got to do to get you back in line. And by the way, if that doesn't work, do you know what else God has done in the Scriptures? He takes people out of here. It's a serious thing for a believer to be in sin. falling from grace. That was what I was going to address. The word fall does not mean to fall out of or fall from. It means to fall down. Somebody who is living in sin and as a believer is living below the level of life that God desires for them to have. They've fallen down. Y'all with me so far? That's what that verb to fall means. To fall down. Let me ask you a question. Do y'all think Adam ever fell down in the ark? You don't? With all the rocking and the swaying and the floods and all that? Yeah, I'm sure he fell down in the ark. Did he fall out of the ark? No. Who'd I say? Whoo, y'all are right. You think so? Yeah. It was Noah. Noah did not fall out of the ark. Y'all got the truth I'm trying to teach, don't you? All right. Think about Abraham. Think about Abraham, a friend of God. Did he sin? Several times. I think about Moses. He sinned and didn't get to enter into the promised land. Now, God let him see it from Mount Nebo. I think about King David. Have mercy. You see, these guys fell down. But here's the awesome thing about God. When we live at a level that's lower than what God desires for us to have, when we fall down, we fall into the grace of God. Amen. We don't deserve salvation. Can't do anything to get it in the first place. Y'all, I'm doing some decent preaching, even though I've got the wrong names today. It promotes sin when we live this way. And so somebody living this kind of life is in danger because God's going to deal with you. And how many of you know, if you get into it with God, who's going to win? It ain't you. All right. Now, here's the third truth. We've got to move. Thirteen C. Watch this. Let me just read the whole verse. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. Say love with me.
Love.
Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There it is. Rejoice. Love rejoices in Christian liberty. Now, you remember Jesus, you know, a lawyer said, well, which came to Jesus? Said, which one of, hopefully I've got those two names right. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? Do you remember what Jesus told me? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. To love God with everything you got. And then he said, the second is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Shrunk the 10 into 2. Well, here, Paul's shrinking the 2 into 1. Love. Love. If you really want to be set free this morning, to live your life in the freedom that God wants you to live in, love is the key. Amen. Love is the key. The life of liberty is lived by love. Love is fulfilled in serving others. I said, love is fulfilled in serving others. Bless God. Y'all, if you're saved, you've been set free to meet other people's needs. That's why we're here. Love. You were saved to glorify God by being a blessing to others. It's all about Him and them. I said, it's all about Him and them. It's not about us. And so, We live our lives on the basis of one law, love. When we begin to let the Holy Spirit flow out of us, out of our lives in service to other people like Jesus did, you begin living a life of freedom. You find this life, this thing that called Christian liberty. It'll free you up. If you really want to get free from all the junk in your life, start loving people. Some of y'all are so stressed out. Some of you are just so Twitter-pated. Can I use that word? Some of you are just, tore all to pieces. You've had different things come in your path and different circumstances and situations happen. Well, here's what I came here today to tell you. Get somebody on your heart and love them. Start serving people. God will bless you. He'll free you up if you will do that. Now, y'all don't get mad at me. And I could have picked out dozens of people in this room as an example of love and what it looks like to serve others and to love other people and to meet other people's needs. Could have picked out a bunch of y'all. We got a little young girl. She didn't even know I was going to do this. She's not a girl anymore. She's a woman. She's a wife and a mama. She's a daughter-in-law. And her father-in-law was needing a kidney. And he was having a hard time finding a good match. Well, guess what? His daughter-in-law gave a kidney, and somebody else then provided the kidney that Tad needed. I'm talking about Katie Ketch. Tad, you did good when you got her to marry your son. Amen. Yes, he did. Now, it doesn't stop there, though. Y'all know what she was doing last Wednesday night? She's in the back room back here packing fuel bags for hungry children to take home on the weekends at Moore Elementary School. She was loving on teenagers. She stayed at Billy and Carol Walker's home, she and Taryn, and loving on teenagers all weekend a few weeks ago. She is on our church council, and she's thinking all this stuff. And basically, what Katie's thinking of is, how can we serve other people? Y'all, I didn't, I hope you'll forgive me, but that is the example of love that Jesus is talking about. Get your mind, get your stuff off of you and get it on somebody else. And God will set you. I don't know any happier person than Katie. You almost have to wipe that smile off her face. So what are we going to do with this message today? Well, here's the deal. Do you really want to live in freedom? Do you really, really desire to be free in Christ and to enjoy this thing we've been calling Christian liberty? Do you? Well, here's the deal. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only unique Son, that whosoever believes here and here in Him shall not perish, be separated from God, but have not temporary life, but everlasting life. And so, if you're a believer today, get on one of our, maybe we need to, church council, maybe we need to change the name of all of our ministries to the love ministry. You know what our community needs? They don't need a bunch of people beating them over the head with the Bible. What they need is somebody to love on them and be the hands and feet of Jesus to them. And then, by the way, you can share a little truth with them. Okay? I don't know what God's going to do with this message today, but when you hear the Word of God, whether you've read it or heard it or seen it in action, there's a response on your part that needs to be made. I hear this all the time. Pastor, you were speaking to me today. No. The Holy Spirit was speaking to you. Amen. I want to encourage you today to get somebody on your heart. Get a group of people on your heart. And start meeting needs. Serving them. I want you to look around the room. What if everybody in this room was serving in some type of capacity in and through this church? You think that'd make a difference? Well, the way you show God how much you love Him is by the way that you love others. Father, I could go on with this for another hour. But I've just got to turn this over completely to you. I'm not in control of anything. You are. And so, Father, would you minister life to us? For those that are here today that have never been changed by the power of God, that don't have the love of Jesus in their hearts, oh, they've heard all about Him. Some of them maybe have their name on a church roll somewhere, but their life has never been changed. They're no different today than when they claim to have been saved. If that would be your testimony today, and you're under conviction about it, let me just encourage you right now where you sit to pray with all your heart something like this. The words are not near as important as your heart, okay? Lord, I am a sinner. I am lost and undone. And my sins are against you. And I'm separated from you. I need your forgiveness. Would you clean me up? I believe that your Son paid the price for all my sin. Every sin I've ever committed, Jesus took my place. I believe that. And Lord, I believe that your Son is alive this morning. And I want to surrender my heart and life to Him. I'm giving you everything that I am to everything that He is today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your salvation. If you prayed a prayer like that, that's the first and only time you need to do that if you really meant business with God. I believe you got saved right there where you're sitting. And now you can love people. You can love the unlovable. You can do what we've been talking about. But you can't be a private Christian. You can't continue to just sit there in a chair. You've got to come forward with your testimony for Christ. In just a moment, when Brother Andrew leads us, I'm going to ask you to just come forward. There will be some men and women here to rejoice with you and to pray with you. You won't have to say anything up here. But then they're going to take you, set you down and give you some counsel and give you some good stuff to get you started right in your life with Christ. And then you can be baptized. Not as a sign, not for salvation, but as a sign you have been saved. And you need to come forward. And then others are here. And you need to hit this altar today. You know it. God knows it. And just make that commitment to begin living in freedom by loving others. Father, this time is all about you. Help us, Lord. Give us the courage and the wisdom to care only about what you are saying to us. It's not about what others think. It's about what do you think, Father. Give us the courage and the strength to do what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. We're going to sing an invitational response to this with a song.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.